there. This is Jo McGarry. Welcome to our podcast. A little different from Radio Mojo, the radio show. The podcasts are meant to be a more private, more intimate, more in-depth look behind the scenes with our guests and continuing to bring you the best of eating, drinking, and living in Hawaii. If you want to know more about what we do and our work specifically with restaurants and food clients, then you can go to our website, mojomcgarry.com, and this podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or any of the other places where you like to get your podcasts. Enjoy, and thanks for being with us. This edition of our podcast is brought to you by Pieology Pizzeria, now with locations in Kailua, Aina Haina, Pearl Ridge, and University Avenue. Create your own custom pizza with a new selection of specialty crusts, including house-made thin, house-made whole wheat, house-made thick, gluten-free, and my favorite, cauliflower. All of those choices before you even choose the topping. When they say custom-made pizza, they really mean it. Check out Pieology at their existing Hawaii locations and keep listening to hear of the new locations coming soon. For more information on Pieology, opening hours, and locations, simply go to pieology.com. Hi, everyone. Welcome to this edition of Radio Mojo, the podcast. I'm super excited this afternoon to share with you some brand new menu items that have just appeared on the menu at Vino, the fabulous Italian-inspired restaurant at Restaurant Row. Although Restaurant Row has a new name now, we should stop calling it Restaurant Row, I suppose, but everyone does. Waterfront Plaza, but you know it's Restaurant Row. I'm with the executive chef, Keith Endo, who has just come back from a fabulous trip. Hello, Keith, how are you?
How are you? Good. I'm good.
Now, you have yet again returned from a trip to Italy. Where were you this time?
Most of the time I stayed in Rome. We also did some venturing out into Naples and also Liguria.
So the purpose of your trips are typically to eat as much as you can and find out what local people are doing and to also meet with other chefs and ask them, how do you make that? What's the recipe? Was this trip pretty much about that?
Yes and no. Actually, this was a vacation.
Okay.
So it was a vacation, but we're never on vacation. We're always working. And so, but I wanted this to be a fun trip. I didn't want, you know, so normally the trips I go on, they're very structured. It's very, they eat here, eat there. And this one, we didn't make any reservations. And I went with our owner, DK, and we kind of just left it, you know, on a whim. And I thought that it would be more exciting that way. And this way it's more fun, and we don't have to, and you know, so we didn't have standards and things to live up to, and sometimes you get a little disappointed. And I think just by going on our own and just, you know, we'll eat here, we eat there, whatever. Of course we eat, that's just what we do, as part of our restaurant. And of course we do some R&D, but you know, but for the most part, I just left it, to enjoy, you know, the culture and the, you know, sitting in the piazza, having Aperol spritz and just enjoying the people and the culture and listening to people talk. You know, and unfortunately for me, I get along with I go out and have fun and talk stories with a lot of people. So I meet a lot of people. So, and lucky for us, we have social media. And so there is a way for me to keep in touch with them mm-hmm. when I came back from my trip in March. And so when I go back in April, in October, you know, I can link up with them and, you know, they can show me around. So it's really interesting.
Now, just to give people listening an idea of how you usually structure your food trips, the DK Restaurant Group, you guys are very serious when you go on not a vacation like this was, but on a food trip. I mean, you literally plan out the whole day and you eat. And sometimes I think if I'm right in saying you go to 6 restaurants.
Yes, that's correct. 6 restaurants. And that gets a little overwhelming. You know, it's a lot to absorb in one day, in one day, 6 restaurants. But yes, normally it is like that. And I think when it's structured like that, I think, you know, because you're on a time frame, and I think there's so much information, it's hard to nail down certain things, and then you kind of lose the touristy part of it. And I think that when I went to Rome, that was kind of the fun part for me, is the learning aspect of the culture and the scene and all that stuff. So
So the result of your vacation slash working trip is that you've come back with some fantastic new menu items. You have 10 of them that are going to be appearing from this weekend on the Vino menu. That's a lot of different dishes to put onto one menu.
It is a lot, you know, but it's it sounds like a lot. It's just when I went to Italy, I wanted to learn. So all of our dishes are not very classical, traditional. They have roots, definitely. They have some authentic roots, which I learned when I went up there, which I observed and I tasted. Then when I came back here, because we live in Hawaii, we're not in Italy, so we don't have that parameters. And so, you know, sometimes people frown, well, it's not Italian food. It's like, well, if you want Italian food, go to Italy, you know. If you want our food, my interpretation of it, then come to Vino's.
Right. And that's why we always say an Italian-inspired restaurant, sure. Because you do take inspiration from what you see over there. Let's talk about some of the dishes. I'm so happy to say that I've tasted almost all of them.
Yes.
Without exception, they're fabulous. I think there's a couple that stand out that are really quite stunning. Talk us through a few of them and some of the things that you learned while you were eating and talking to chefs and what you were brought back.
Okay. I think one of the most important thing, one of the coolest things that I learned is something as simple as pesto. When I went to Liguria, you know, I tasted the pesto there and it was just amazing. You think of pesto and it's like, yeah, it's just pesto, but you know, they take it very seriously there in Liguria. You know, that's where it's from. It's, you know, Genovese basil is from Genoa. So when you go there, you can taste the soul of the pesto. You know, they take pride in what they do. It's not just something that they throw together. The methodology on how they put the ingredients to their, you know, and of course, you know, I don't tell them to use Cuisinart because that's frowned upon in the Liguria.
I know. The thought of you pummeling that beautiful basil in a mixer is just awful, isn't it?
And you know, I use it. You know, it's okay. You know, what we do is we pulse it, so we don't really like let it go and forget about it, because it brings a bitterness to the pesto. And I think when Chuck was talking to you guys the other day about it, it really affects the wine pairings.
So when you're in Rome, when you're in Liguria, they take it so seriously that each ingredient is added at a certain step. Yeah. The basil is the thing that's added almost last, right?
Actually, it's one of the first ones. So what they do is they pulse it with a little bit of oil, and then they pulse it really, you know, just really, really gently. And then because when you use the food processor or the, you know, Cuisinart, it actually creates friction, so it actually heats up. It actually gets warm, so you just pulse it, and then you add the salt, the garlic. And then the cheese, and believe it or not, yeah, the pine nuts last.
That's what's last. It's the pine nuts, yes, whereas we just throw them all in here, but pine nuts last. And what happens with that is you get a beautiful textured basil that you can really taste every element of.
Absolutely. And if you add the pine nuts in too early, it becomes almost like peanut butter. It gets, because they're very creamy and very soft and oily. And so they create this really, really kind of more of a heavy kind of aspect. And you don't get that toasty, crunchy, nuttiness at the end, like when you add the pesto. So it's something as simple as that. And, you know, a lot of the dishes that we have on the menu, you could probably count majority of the ingredients on one hand.
Yes, that's the other thing that makes it so perfect for summer, too, is that it's a very light menu for the most part. Very few ingredients, but just really high quality and done extremely well, I think. Your use of different kinds of pasta is pretty traditional. I mean, you're using the pasta that really ought to be with each dish because, of course, in Italy, they don't really know the kind of sauces that we have created here in America. So every pasta has to be something that will absorb or hold or just complement the sauce. What else are you super happy with? I think for me, the risotto a la Milanese was quite exceptional. It's so creamy, so rich, and so yellow.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I was telling the story, it's such a cool story. What I learned is that Milanese is not a particular dish. It's actually a style of cooking. So when you go to Milan, anything that they cook in Milan, you'll get three dishes. You'll get alla Milanese risotto, you get alla Milanese asbuco, and you'll get the other dish is veal Milanese. Mm-hmm. And so what I love about the risotto is the saffron. You know, there's so much saffron there, but it's not overpowering enough. to where, but it has this beautiful bright color. And like I was telling you guys yesterday, you know, from what the stories that I've heard, that is that the dish is 500 years old, you know, and Hawaii's not even that old. and so to hear the stories about this dish, it creates this whole like perception. And they used to use the saffron to stain the glasses for the churches and the cathedrals and stuff like that. So it's amazing how, you know, and so anytime you see saffron risotto, it's indigenous to Milan. Mm-hmm.
And just beautiful, rich, gorgeous color. Really a lovely dish. One of the things that I love, and it's hard to find somewhere that does it really well because it can end up just being a sort of congealed, bit greasy mess, but you have a beautiful bucatini carbonara. And I think just the thickness of the bucatini pasta is perfect with that sort of very creamy, beautiful carbonara sauce. Mm-hmm. Was that a surprise to you too, to see that, to see how carbonara is done?
Yes, yes. And of course, carbonara, the hardest thing is to make sure you don't scramble the eggs.
Yes.
But I use these egg yolks and having good egg yolks. You know, so we get the egg yolks from Waimanalo, from this farm in Waimanalo. And they're absolutely, they have this really rich, eggy flavor. And so you have to take great care and when you're cooking the pasta. And I love the bucatini because I think in Rome, I don't think I've seen it. Carbonara is definitely bucatini pasta. You don't generally see other pastas. Sometimes they might use like a thick rigatoni, but other than that, it's usually that more. But I love the bucatini because the thickness of it, but yeah. It's also hollow in the center. So it's actually, there's a sauce that goes into it, and I think it's a well-executed pairing.
Yeah, it really is. It kind of wraps itself around that whole dish and makes it. And a little bit of it is quite enough.
Yes.
And that's, I bet that's one of the things you notice traveling through Europe is the portion sizes are so much smaller.
They're so much smaller. And like you said, you know, you can't eat a whole bunch of it, but it's just enough to where you eat it. And a lot of times I think in Rome, and we try to order, like a bunch of different pastas, but it's normally one pasta per person. So normally there's no really share place. But some of them, they're pretty accommodating. We ask them, you know, can we get share place? Because there's me and DK, so we want to try five different pastas. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, is anybody just joining you?
But, no one's joining us, but we're from Hawaii.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, and it's and we try a lot of different pastas, a lot of different but usually Amatriciana, cacio e pepe and carbonara is indigenous to Rome. And so every restaurant has it. It's pretty much your play on it. And so I just took bits and pieces of everything and I kind of morphed it. Because I believe our food in Hawaii is Italian, Japanese, and Korean, whatever it is, inspired. It's always morphed. It's something that they've taken from the Philippines or Korea, and we westernized it and we changed it into like more of a local style. So the Italian food that we have here, I think it's good for me when I went to Italy to learn the authenticity of the dish first, because then I can morph it.
Right.
But then at least if somebody comes from Italy and they say, well, I went to Rome and this is what I experienced in Rome, but being in Hawaii, we don't have the ingredients that you guys have, so I exchanged the dish out to make it more local.
Yeah, I think that makes sense to people here. Is if you understand the foundation of a dish, then you're almost entitled to be able to change it. But if you don't know what a real dish is or how it was formed or even the history of it, especially when you're talking about Italian or even French food, which has such a tremendous history, then it's almost like you're not entitled to change it, kind of. Yeah, I know. There's a kind of unwritten
law. I think that holds true in Italy. Changing things in Italy is like Japanese food in Japan. They don't, you know, they're not really, but Japanese people are, you know, they go to Korea, they go to Japan, and they go to Europe and they go to France and they learn it and they go back and they morph it and they use Japanese ingredients. So, but they learn the technique. I think that's the important thing, is to learn the technique, but then don't copy it. But come home, you know, come back to Hawaii and kind of make it more so where local people can understand it.
Well, we do see that a lot here, though, when you see those Japanese/Italian restaurants. That when I first came here, I have to say, I couldn't wrap my head around them. But when you realize what they are, then it really makes a difference.
Absolutely.
Another one of the dishes that I love and I think is going to be hugely popular, again, especially for summer, it's very light, it's very summery, it's very seafoody. It's packed with seafood. It's the seafood bolognese. What a fantastic dish. I loved it.
And this is something that I kind of took away from Italy, the freshness of the seafood. and just pack it into there. So, you know, we make our San Marzano tomato sauce with lobster heads. So there's lobster stock in there. Plus, on top of that, we add a clam broth to it. And then on top of that, we have all the seared seafood in there. And on top of that, remember I was telling you, we use the shrimp shells to make the oil, and we kind of drizzle that on top of that in Italy, they use a lot of extra virgin olive oil as a finishing oil. So we use that as a finishing oil. So you have this huge amount of, seafood influences there. So it's, when you taste it, you know you're eating seafood.
And beautiful scallops. I mean, really gorgeous. Where are they from?
They're from Washington.
Beautiful. So of all of the new dishes, which do you think people are going to love the most? I mean, you have a very good sense of people who come to Vino.
My favorite is probably the clams.
Yeah. We didn't even speak about that. The linguine con bombone.
Yeah. I think it's the most underrated dish that if done really well, it's good. It's really good. Like I ate some in Italy, and it's amazing because that's the one thing I ate there, and I just looking at the way that they prepare it, I told DK, I go, I can make it better. and it was great because, you know, it's underrated. I think, ours just has garlic butter, little bit of white wine and clam broth, and that's it, and parsley.
So simple.
But when you eat it, as you guys eat it, you can just taste the clams. It just tastes like this. Should taste just like the ocean. You
know? It does. It just tastes like the ocean. Beautiful.
You know, talk about the salinity of the clams in there and how it goes well with the wines and stuff. So it's amazing. You look at it and it's so interesting to see something in when I was in Rome. I noticed every single dish I look at, it's like, that's okay. But you eat it, there's so much flavor and it's just so amazing. You know, you don't need to be fancy. I didn't see one micro dish with microgreens on it, believe it or not. And so I don't think it, you know, what would it do to the dish in there?
I know, and it's so simple on the plate, simple ingredients. I mean, as you just say here, we're talking clams, a tiny splash of butter, a little bit of white wine, some garlic, but it's absolutely heavenly. I do actually agree. I think that one is going to be a big winner. So 10 new dishes on the menu at Vino. If you are a fan of Vino, then come down and try them all from now. They will be on the menu for the next few months for sure. You are going to take another trip to Italy at the end or the fall.
Yes.
I wonder what you'll come back with then.
Italy is such a huge country. And so the one I didn't realize that, you know, when you talk about Liguria, Bologna, Rome, Naples.
There's 40 different regions of food.
Exactly. And they've only recently became unified. Mm-hmm. And so when you eat pizza in every single, like you said, in every single region, you'll get 40 different styles of pizza. You'll get 40 different styles of vongole, seafood pasta, and everything. So it's, I will definitely not have enough time to go and see all of it. But every single dish will probably inspire me and help me, in fact, you know, put more dishes on it because it's in the fall. So, you know, it's a whole set of different ingredients that they're going to, seasonal ingredients that they're going to have then that they didn't have when I went this last time. So.
Now, when you started your career cooking Japanese food, did you ever imagine that you would become almost obsessed, certainly so much in love with Italian food?
Actually, it was kind of a little overwhelming for me because I didn't kind of know the gist of it. I mean, you know, we all kind of know a little bit of Italian food because we eat at the popular places, mm-hmm. you know, that local people go to. But I think, and I've been cooking for, you know, Italian food for the past 15 years, and I was talking to Chuck about this, and I said, you know, he goes, what did you like about Rome? I said, well, I've been cooking food for, you know, Italian food for 15 years, and you know, this is the first time I've actually went on a trip that was like, you know, that I went just to embrace the culture and to learn about the food and to, you know, to see the techniques that they have out there. And I was like, I don't want to go back. You know what I mean? And Chuck goes, what do you mean? I go, Chuck, that's like you being a master sommelier and never being into a vineyard in your life. And all of a sudden you're in Burgundy or something. You know what I mean? You're just overwhelmed. You're just surrounded. This is what you do. This is your profession. And you're in the place where it all started.
Yeah.
Exactly. So for me, it was just overwhelming. Every night I was walking out, you're like, oh my God, I love Italy. I love Italy. It was amazing.
Well, the people in Hawaii are benefiting because you're bringing back some lovely dishes to change and to make your own and to make very Vino. In case you haven't been to Vino for a while, we're going to strongly suggest that you get on the phone and make a reservation, and do make reservations because it does get busy down here. Vino is at Waterfront Plaza, Restaurant Row, if you still remember it as such. So easy to park, so easy to get here. Open from, let me get this right, are you Wednesday through Sunday still?
We are Tuesday through Sunday. So we're
you guys are busy now.
Just closed on Monday, yeah.
There you go. Monday and for dinner only. Keith, it's lovely to see you. It's always great to see you when you come back from a trip. So enthusiastic and excited. And I'm sure this menu is going to be your best one ever.
Yep. I'm hoping for it. You know, I'm pretty confident in it. You know, like, you know, we talk about, like, you know, the food comes from, is an interpretation of me, of what my trip was, more so than ever. And I'm really behind this menu change. And I think you guys tasted the food. So I'm pretty confident that it should be really good.
It's like an edible postcard from Italy, courtesy of Chef Keith Endo. Thank you, Keith.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We hope you enjoyed this podcast. For more information, remember, go check out our website, mojomcgarry.com. We'll see you next time.